From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Happy Monday to you, America. I'm Todd Starnes. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. So... So I told you that I was going to watch the Bad Bunny halftime show, which I did, by the way, and I have a lot to say about this. And there's so much going on in the world of sports and this anti-American attitude, whether it's Team USA or whether it's Bad Bunny. And Bad Bunny, this halftime show, here's the deal. I was halfway joking when I asked if the NFL was actually going to provide subtitles, right? Because the entire show was in, I mean, he wasn't lying. The entire show was in Spanish. And I thought, well, at least they're going to put up the subtitles. Dylan, there were no subtitles. Nobody. And here's the problem. Even if, let's just say, and this is going to be a stretch, because when I first tuned in, I thought, I'm on Telemundo. And I thought something was wrong with my remote, so I'm fidgeting with the remote. Then I realized, holy cow, no, this is actually the Super Bowl halftime show. Because basically they had these people, then they came out dressed as what, like cane sugar? Right? You saw this, right?
I thought they were the Ents from Lord of the Rings. But, you know, you have your choice.
Oh, I didn't think about that. But now, yeah, I guess you could say that. But the whole point was all those people working in the fields, I think, were the illegals. That's what I was trying
that's fair.
I was trying to figure that part of it out.
Yeah.
And they had, and sure enough, you know, they had two gay Hispanic men bumping and grinding. Or is it just grinding? Is it? I don't know.
Don't ask me.
I don't know the proper terminology. They were grinding there in the pickup truck, and then you had all sorts of debauchery. So anyway, you would have thought they would have had the subtitles, because otherwise you have no earthly idea what is going on. And Dylan, when you looked at the crowd shots from the Super, nobody was interested.
Yeah. That, I mean, you know, you would think a little bit of dancing was going on, but I think they were just like squinting their eyes, because first of all, the production set was not made for the crowd. If you would have noticed,
it was made for TV.
It was made for TV, so right. They're all just like looking into like this this maze of Bush people, and they're looking at the TV like, all right, well, I guess we're here.
I want to see that person. I want to see the actor's IMBD thing. You know, where, you know, I played a Bush.
Yeah.
I played a roving Bush. So I finally got, you know, I'm settling in, and I had the TPUSA thing going on YouTube, and there's a big controversy over that. I'll get to that in just a moment. But anyway, so I'm watching, and all of a sudden the Bad Bunny starts grabbing his crotch, and he starts like scratching his nether regions, and he's hollering in Spanish, and all I could think of was, oh my gosh, this guy is having a medical issue, and I think he was asking for somebody to bring him some sort of a cream or ointment to stop with the itching. I mean, that's kind of embarrassing. You're on national television, and you have something like that happen. So anyway, President Trump is, and by the way, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. Both of the, which one did you watch, and what is your review of the Super Bowl halftime show and the TPUSA halftime show? President Trump did not mince words. He said it was absolutely terrible, one of the worst ever, and an affront to the greatness of America. He also said Bad Bunny's show was a slap in the face to our country. So I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, what was the point of all of this? In all honesty, what was the point? Now, there are a lot of – I happen to be of the Southern Baptist persuasion in the denominational world. And my denomination, a lot of the leaders of these giant mega churches, they're as woke as the day is long. And they're just like – did I say long?
Yee-hoo! It's coming out.
Uh-oh. So anyway, these preachers are out there, and they're like, oh – this is just praise the Lord that we have Mr. Bad Bunny out there, and he's going to be singing in Spanish. And, well, we're just all about diversity here at the Southern Baptist Convention, and we just love diversity. Really, do you love gay men grinding in a pickup truck, Southern Baptist? Now, Dylan, we're going to get to this in a moment, but is it true that you went through and personally transcribed what Bad Bunny sang to America last night?
Every single lyric. And Todd, you better be glad you didn't have the captions for the halftime show.
Is it safe to say nowhere in that performance were the words "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound"?
That's pretty fair. It's
that
fair
saved a wretch like me.
None of that. Yeah.
There's a lot of wretchedness in. So we're going to do a dramatic reading of the English version of whatever Bad Bunny performed last night for you in a matter of mere moments. I want to go to Tom, though, in Collierville, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, our great flagship station. Tom, are you telling me that there were captions for the halftime show?
Yes, and the captions were in Spanish as well. They weren't in English.
What?
Yes, exactly. And I have a Hispanic friend here at work, and he said that his Spanish was not as good as it should have been, and he mumbled quite a bit, so he couldn't understand everything that he was saying. So I'm interested in hearing Dylan, what he transcribed and what he said. Now, that being said, I swapped back and forth to both of them because I wanted to get a pretty good bird's-eye view of what everybody's talking about today.
Yes.
And I will give one thing about the halftime performance at the Super Bowl. The production was off the charts. The production value of what he did was really good. If you knew nothing about him, had the sound down, the production was actually really good, except for the one part with the two guys in the truck.
Yeah, Tom, I'm going to agree with you there. And Dylan and I, we were talking, we had our big staff meeting this morning, and we were very complimentary of the production quality there because it was almost as if it was a live, like, sitcom or live made-for-TV moment. And I think they pulled that off without a hitch, especially going through and hitting all the taco joints and whatever else they were drinking out down there.
That's right. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Hey, Tom, thank you. What are you laughing at, Dylan?
Taco joint. Yeah, I mean, it's very authentic. That was one of the good parts. And, you know, they had the wedding there. That was cool. Apparently,
they were heterosexual. They were straight.
Yes, they were straight.
I was shocked.
Yeah, there are positives to come out of this halftime show.
Here is a couple of things. First of all, Trump did not watch the Turning Point USA thing. He was watching Bad, I call him, I almost got the wrong animal. Right. Bad Bunny.
Uh-huh.
And so he was watching Bad Bunny. If I were Trump, I'd have been serving taco salads. You know, he's a big fan of the taco salad, the one you get in the bowl and from like Taco Bell. I'd had everybody at Mar-a-Lago was eating, and they were wearing sombreros. That's what I would have done.
It's the perfect occasion to do that.
Right? Yeah. The other thing, I would have had ICE agents rush the field just for the fun of it. Nobody gets arrested, but just for the fun of it, to see who gets up and run. By the way, speaking of that, you know there was a streaker at the Super Bowl. I'm on a brief tangent here. There was a streaker, and of course, it's the NFL. We don't show streakers anymore. It's like, why not? I mean, that's the best part of it, when you've got your play-by-play guy calling the streaker, you know, as he's bolting down the field. That streaker had more yardage than the entire New England Patriots last night.
You're not wrong about that at all. And he was clothed. He wasn't.
No, he was a faux streaker. Yeah, FAUX. He was a fake streaker.
Yeah, they didn't show it. I had to see that on Twitter.
How do you not show that? That would have been actually the best part and the most exciting part of the game.
I agree. He got tackled. He almost made a touchdown. He almost scored. So I mean, they got him, though.
Well, we're curious to hear your thoughts. Which Super Bowl halftime show did you watch, and what did you think about it? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I did watch after the Bad Bunny, I watched the Turning Point. And, how shall I phrase this? I was somewhat underwhelmed. And before you call me a heathen, let me explain myself. I was just expecting a little bit more. I mean, Turning Point USA has more money than God, and I just think they could have done something that would have been a bit more, I don't know. There's just, it was all pre-taped. The, and by the way, Kid Rock was not singing live. That was it a dub? What do they call that, Dylan, where you...
Not
Milli Vanilli, but, you know.
Lip syncing.
Thank you. Lip syncing.
Yeah.
I thought, I mean, it was okay. It was just okay. I just have an overarching issue with making a halftime show political on one side or the other. But, Todd, are you saying that Jesus is political? You godless heathen liberal. I knew it. I knew you were a Democrat. No, that's not what I'm saying. And I think all of those things are great, but are you going, if you're going to watch the Super Bowl halftime show, just get real for a minute. Do you really want to sit there and watch, a worship service, a memorial service, whatever Kid Rock was doing? I mean, that was sort of like all over the place. And yeah, they had a good audience, what, about 5-6 million people. I was just somewhat underwhelmed. It was not live. There were only about a couple of hundred people there. I guarantee you, with as much prep time and much lead time, they could have, like, rented out a Coliseum somewhere and packed that place, you know, packed it out. Dylan, who do you think? We had talked about Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj. She's on the ups for the conservative movement. I think she would have brought the house down. Maybe not quite the target audience for Nicki Minaj, but, you know, it's something. I would say it's at least better than one or two of the performers they had for TPUSA.
I'm calling balls and strikes today, yeah. And I'm just telling you, it just didn't do it for me. And let's go to Cliff in North Carolina, WSIC. All right, Cliff, what's your take?
Hey, Todd. Yes, I'm one of those Southern Baptist pastors. I spoke with you before, and which you can have the big mega churches. Now, our church is very conservative, and when I even mentioned about who were you going to watch, you know, last night when I was doing my message yesterday. But I'm with you. I liked it, the Turning Point, but it was kind of
could have okay.
been like you said. And the last song was great. I really appreciated that. However, it was just lacking. I was expecting a lot more. But I do know a lot of people that watched it. As a matter of fact, I was watching through YouTube, and I think it was over 5 million people. But when Kid Rock came on, and after his song, it dropped to 4 million. So I wasn't sure about that. I mean, you had Kid Rock, and he is, and then it went straight into some violin music. I appreciated the effort, but I think maybe it fell short of what it could have been. And you're exactly right on the politics. Either way, it's a football game.
Thank you, Tom. You know, Cliff, I thank you for that. That's what just gets me. It's like we're trying to shove politics into everything. Both sides are doing it, and I just can't stand it. Why can't we just enjoy a great game? Okay, it was a terrible game, but why can't, theoretically, we enjoy the Super Bowl and have a fun halftime show? Why do we have to have something force-fed? And again, and here's the challenge. There was a story. A lot of these mega churches on Sunday actually turned their worship services into fake Super Bowl type events. Can we just like let church be church and let the Super Bowl be the Super Bowl? Is that possible?
Please. My granddaughter, she went to a larger church and they watched, I guess, the Super Bowl, and they watched the Turning Point, which was fine and great. I mean, the young people enjoyed it and everything, but. Come on. Can't we have church and let it put? Aiden Rodgers said, what you catch them with is what you got to keep them with. And so you have to have that excitement all the time. Is the word of God not enough? And that politics be? And it's not that we avoid politics. Our conversation, which is a political, you know, from the Greek a little bit, that let our conversation be known, but it's a football game. It should be enjoyable and just watch it. And whether the game's great or not, but because, like you said, we're being force fed, and like you said, kind of from both sides. It was great. I appreciated. I'd rather watch what we watch than watching Bad Bunny.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it almost reminded me. I'm thinking, what would Desi Arnaz say right now? We need a Ricky Ricardo. Now, that would have been a fun halftime show. Hey, Cliff, I got to run. I am super late for a break, but I do appreciate you calling in. I don't know, guys. Maybe we just go back to the old school marching bands. Maybe that's the play here, Dylan.
Hey, I'm completely down for that. It would not be a bad show.
Yeah. Throw in an electric guitar riff.
Yeah. Come on.
Hey, hold on a second. How long is the Super Bowl? It's like 15 minutes, the halftime?
Yeah, 15, 20 minutes.
Why don't we just play Freebird?
Yeah.
That'll take up the whole 15 minutes.
Yeah. Or American Pie, or Bye Bye Miss American Pie.
Or the theme song to Shaft.
Yeah.
As we learned.
For the intro, at least.
For the intro. We got to take a break here, folks. Also, favorite commercials. I've got a few. I'm curious to hear yours as well. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Losing weight's getting harder and harder as you get older, and it's not your fault. You're eating better, you're moving more, but your body isn't responding anymore. The harder you try, the less progress you see. And I am just like you. I've been dealing with this, and recently I made the call to PhD Weight Loss, and it's changing everything. I've been on the program for a week now, already dropped 3 pounds. Feel better than ever. PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss, and they fix the root cause. And it isn't as simple as counting calories. Your body is much more complicated than that. If you want to understand why your body isn't cooperating, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Fix My Weight Loss to unlock our New Year's special. Book your consultation. It's free. It's personalized. And it could explain everything. Call 864-644-1900 and say Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900. Or visit myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Todd sent you.
This is your favorite president, and this message is for Bad Bunny, or as I call him, the Nasty Rabbit, El Conejo Desagradable. He's a nasty rabbit and a stupid rabbit. Anytime you see a guy in a dress, that's a very stupid person. So he's a nasty guy, a horrible guy. They call him Bad Bunny. I call him the worst bunny. Think about it. And nobody knows bunnies quite like I do. I get along very well with many of the highly respected bunnies all around the world. I have a tremendous relationship with Bugs Bunny. He said to me, "What's up, Doc?" He said, "Sir, what's up, Doc, sir?" I said, "You don't have to call me Doc. You could call me Donald." But Bugs Bunny is a tremendous bunny. He does a fantastic job on the baseball field. He plays every position. You look at him, but he does a fantastic job. I get along very well with Roger Rabbit. And what happened to him was horrible, you know. They say, "Sir, who framed Roger Rabbit, sir?" I said, "It was probably the fake news and the Democrats. They frame everybody." But he got a raw deal, and so we gave him a pardon. Because what happened to Roger Rabbit was horrible. It was a complete and total witch hunt, so we gave him a pardon. I got along very well with the Easter Bunny, who used to lead Crooked Joe Biden around like a lost puppy. But the Easter Bunny said to me, "Sir, you have the biggest Easter eggs the world has ever seen. They're much bigger than crying Chuck Schumer or Peso Store Obama. You look at Hakeem
Mr.
Jeffries,
President.
They have very small Easter eggs, but I have the biggest eggs the world has ever seen. Nobody's ever seen anything
like it.
I also got along well with Little Bunny Fufu, and I ended the war between Little Bunny Fufu and the field mice. He was bopping them on the head. I said, "You can't do that. You have to stop doing that, or we're going to hit you with tariffs." And we ended that war. You know, you look at it, the peace president. So,
all right, we got to take a break, Mr. President. That sounded like Sean Farage. Are we sure that was Mr. President? I don't know. But God bless him for brokering a peace deal between the field mice and Little Bunny Fufu. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Out of Texas, over the weekend, there was a bit of controversy surrounding a state senator. This is the minority leader, the Democrat. Gene Wu is his name. Again, he is a Democrat, and he is the minority leader of the Democrats in the Texas State House. And he's making some pretty scurrilous charges against all of you people of the Caucasian persuasion, you honkies in the audience, or if you prefer, saltine Americans. Here is State Representative Wu.
We need to be out there. We need to not only support and remember the name of Ms. Good, but we need to remember why she died. She died because she was a proud American. She was a proud American who understood her rights and was free to exercise it. And they took her life for it. And instead of our response being silence, we should be louder than ever. We should scream in their faces. We should not give them a moment of peace until they give us our nation back.
All right. So that is Mr. Wu, the senator. By the way, the reason why Ms. Good is no longer with us is because she tried to ram her SUV into a federal agent. Otherwise, she would still be alive. But Wu goes on to talk about something that is incredibly disturbing, and that is all of you white folks out there. And Mr. Wu says that one day, all of you white people in America, you're going to be put in your place. And he's actually now calling for, and we'll get this audio for you. We'll play this in just a moment. But Wu is now calling for non-whites to take over the United States of America. It's incredibly racist what this guy said, and nobody's calling him out on the left. You know, all you know what broke loose on Friday when you had President Trump share the video, and at the end of it, there was a little clip from The Lion King where you had Barack and Michelle Obama as portrayed as depicted as well members of the animal kingdom. We'll just leave it there. And so anyway, all you know what's breaking loose. You've got every pastor in America, all of those woke preachers out there condemning, oh, this racist president we have. All right, clearly it was an accident. Clearly it was stupid. The president said some staffer did it and was responsible. And they've got to knock that kind of stuff off because, look, accidents are going to happen. Clearly the administration fessed up to it. They took it down. And that's that. But, you know, it's never good enough for these people. It's never good enough for the woke mob. They don't want you to apologize. And by the way, listen up. All you conservatives out there, you ever find yourself in a situation where you say something controversial or maybe you say something you probably shouldn't have said, never apologize because it's not good enough. It never is good enough for these people. And I'm telling you, that's how these people operate. But for years, I've been warning you, and I've gotten a lot of blowback because of my statements over this, but I've been telling you for years that there is a simmering race war in this country. A lot of folks are accusing me of race baiting or trying to stoke up, you know, rage and the clickbait. No, that's not it at all. For at least, well, let's see here. It's been more than 10 years now. For well over 10 years, they've been teaching our kids critical race theory in our taxpayer-funded education system. Now, if you're in a private school, your kids probably escaped all of that. But by and large, the overwhelming majority of American kids are educated in a taxpayer-funded classroom. And as a result, they have been exposed, many of them, for their entire academic career. From kindergarten all the way through college, they've been taught about critical race theory, that white people are the oppressors, that the and you, minority person, you are the oppressed. And it doesn't matter what you do, black person or Hispanic person or Asian person, it doesn't matter what you do, you'll never be able to be successful because of the white man. The white man is to blame for everything that is wrong with you. Everything. Now, I'm just going to ask you, and just think about this. Say you're 5 years old, and you hear a teacher say that. And then you're 6 years old, and the teacher says it. And then 7 and 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, I'll go all the way up to you're 21 years old. From the age of 5 years to 21, and you've been instructed at some level critical race theory that teaches you the white man is bad and the white man is evil. Are you you're telling me you're genuinely surprised when black mobs go out and attack white people? You're really surprised that that is happening? These kids have been brainwashed. And now these adults have been brainwashed. And that's why, if you go and look at a lot of these Super Bowl commercials, there were a couple that actually featured white people in a very negative light. One of them was the anti-Semitism ad, and that was so flagrantly false, because when you look at the aggressors, the Jew haters on those campuses that are causing a lot of the controversy, they're not white kids, by and large. They're Muslims, and they're pals. So they were taking, they may call it creative liberties here. Also, there's a report out that over 30% of the illegals who are committing crimes are being labeled as white people. So, yeah, it is open season on white people in America. I've been saying this for a very long time, and now people are slowly coming around to understanding what's been going on. So here is the other piece of audio from Texas State Representative Wu from Texas, born in China, by the way. And now this guy is serving. He is the top Democrat in the House of Representatives in Texas. Take a listen.
I always tell people the day the Latino, African-American, Asian, and other communities realize that they share the same oppressor is the day we start winning. Because we are the majority in this country now. We have the ability to take over this country and to do what is needed for everyone and to make things fair. But the problem is our communities are divided. They're completely divided.
So he's telling us that the enemy here is not the communists. And his parents, by the way, fled China during the Cultural Revolution. No. He says that the bigger enemy is the white man and the white woman and their children in America. This is such blatant racism. And all I can encourage you to do is just replace the word white people with black people or Hispanic people. And you'll get a good idea, because had this been a white Republican who said something like this about, I don't know, black people, this guy would have already been forced out of office. What's shocking here is this is a Texas Democrat. But I want to go back and listen to it one more time, just so you understand who he believes the enemy is. And notice the use of the word oppressed. All right, take a listen.
I always tell people the day the Latino, African-American, Asian, and other communities realize that they share the same oppressor is the day we start winning. Because we are the majority in this country now. We have the ability to take over this country and to do what is needed for everyone and to make things fair.
Okay, stop. What does he mean by that? Do what is needed for everyone. Folks, going back to, gosh, it's not that long ago, but when Bernie Sanders was running for the White House in the Democrat primary, and boy, did they screw Bernie. But I'm glad they did, because his campaign staffers were openly talking about sending all of the white MAGA supporters to concentration camps. They didn't call them concentration camps. They called them re-education camps to undo the brainwashing. I mean, these are top campaign staffers of Bernie Sanders saying this. Now you have others that are running for office, and we'll play some of this audio this week. You've got other lawmakers, Democrats, that are out there saying, if we get elected, we're coming after you, MAGA. We're coming after you. You will lose your jobs. Some of you will go to jail. If you're working for ICE, we're going to hunt you down. I mean, this is insanity, but this is the level of hate and vitriol that's popping up to the surface now, oozing up to the surface. And you know why? Because Donald Trump is over the target. That's the reason why. And these people are enraged. They understand when you actually look at where the surge of the ICE agents are happening and the illegals they're arresting, these are areas that are overwhelmingly Democrat, and these illegals have been voting in those elections. And they know the jig is up. So as awful as the Republican Party is right now, they still have a great chance of winning this because President Trump is bringing us back to a level playing field. He's going to make it almost impossible for the Democrats to cheat, which is why the president wanted the SAVE Act. And I'm just telling you, from the conversations I had over the weekend, I was at the Young Americas Foundation in Nashville and talked to a lot of folks that are in the know in D.C., and they're saying that John Thune is sticking by his guns here, that he's not going to let this legislation through. So it's bad. But as bad as that is, the Republicans still have a shot at winning this. Look, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You say, Tom, what does all of this mean? Well, look, I think you have to take these people at their word. When they say they want to put you in a re-education camp, you have to believe they want to do that. And they did that to a lot of people in the aftermath of J6. Some people, for just simply walking into the building, were spending months, if not years, in jail. So, yeah, I do think we have to take them at their word. What does that mean for somebody like me? I don't know. We live close to the Mississippi Delta. I would hate to think there's going to be a knock on our big, beautiful broadcast studio, and they're going to give me some overalls and say, Starnes, you got to work the fields in North Mississippi now. You gotta hoe that land. No, Dylan, not in the biblical sense of that. It's the instrument, the hoe, that kind of hoeing the land. Just want to clarify. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot. All to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. See guaranteed details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Only available with TurboTax experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.
Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us. Well, look, we haven't even started talking about the Olympics and a couple of other big, big national stories. And that we've got plenty of time. We're going to get to that. But right now, I want to go to the phone lines. First-time caller, Martin from Baltimore, our great affiliate there, WCBM. Martin, what is on your mind today?
Well, I just wanted to pass on some information. Both my wife and I would have been wanting to call and let you know that the voter ID situation that we have, and here in Baltimore and Maryland, we're like just swamped on the far left. They just do whatever they want to do. But when we have to go different places like the landfill, we have to show our driver's license and ID before we can even get in. And that's kind of crazy. They want to stop the ID for voting, but you got to show it at the landfill.
Well, you know, I'll say this about my home state is Tennessee, and we are required to show a form of ID to go and vote. Martin, no one has ever announced publicly that they were unable to vote because they didn't have access to an ID. And not only that, there has been hardly any fraud at all, minuscule, as a result of the simple act of showing an ID. And I still have an open, this is an open invitation. Anyone in America who cannot get access to an ID, I've urged them to call this program and we will help them get an ID. That's been going on for 8 years now, Martin, and not a single person has ever called.
Oh, okay.
So we
really don't have a problem then. It's just, is it just a perception that we have, or?
Well, no, it's the leftist and the liberals. Their argument is that people in poor parts of America don't have access to IDs. And that's simply not true. There have been no confirmed reports of anybody who has been denied the right to vote because they didn't have an ID. What was it Kamala Harris said? Her argument was people in the southern states in these poor counties don't have access to a Xerox machine. That's why. Yeah. You know, what is she talking about? So anyway, I'm with you 1,000% on that. Let me say this though, Martin, your governor, they're working to do away with the lone Republican district in your state.
Yes, that's the bad. That's the worst news we've had recently. That redistricting was he's doing things that we think are and believe wholeheartedly are illegal. I mean, it's just terrible what they're doing here, and he's trying to get his shoe in the White House door. I don't think he has a chance because there's smart people voting now. That just, but I don't know what else we can do. Like I said, my wife and I are retired. We're kind of up in years, and it's hard to even get around. But we want to do whatever we can.
Well, you're doing it now by making a phone call to this national radio program, and of course, we love all of our great listeners in Baltimore. Martin, look, here's the deal. We're going to have to stand together, and I do believe that talk radio can actually change the course direction of this country. I absolutely believe that. It's going to take some work, and one of the things you can do, you and your wife don't have to get out there and march. You can work the phones or send emails and, volunteer to work at home. There are plenty of opportunities and ways for you to be a part of the fight. And I sure do appreciate you calling in today. Thank you for that. Congressman Andy Harris is the lone Republican congressman in the entire Commonwealth of Maryland. Can you believe that? And now the Democrats are setting up a ballot proposal that would do away with that final, that one lone Republican district. Same thing is happening in Virginia, where they're about to eliminate all but one congressional seat for the Republicans. That's what the Democrats are doing. And yet, what are the Republicans doing in all of these super red states out there? They're backing away from it. Indiana had the opportunity. Tennessee has an opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't play the Democrats' game here, and that's the argument coming from the Republicans, well, we just don't play that way, Todd. We're taking the moral high ground. I need another Appletini. No, you know what? Let me explain this to you. Do unto them as they are doing to you. That is the political good book, all right? And if you don't, well, you're going to be in the minority, and it's going to happen very, very soon if you're not careful. So, again, we've got to play the Democrat Party's game. You folks in Texas, you've got to slam it through. Slam it through. And I know you've got a lot of rhinos in your state house. I get that. But we're going to have to put pressure on these lawmakers to do the right thing here, along with every other Republican state. California, they're getting rid of just about all of their Republican lawmakers. Do you understand what's happening here, ladies and gentlemen? There could come a time, if we do not push back hard against the Democrats, there could come a time in this country when there are no Republicans on Capitol Hill. So it's time to put up or shut up, Republicans. That's what I'm trying to say. All right. Coming up, we have a dramatic reading of Bad Bunny's lyrics translated into English. Hide your kids, America. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
So I missed this commercial in the Super Bowl. By the way, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio show. Most of the commercials were about cryptocurrency and fantasy football. Is Dylan, did I miss anything there? I mean, it certainly seems like there was not a wide variety.
No, that and also AI. AI was a huge part.
Yeah, so look, this Ring doorbell ad has really caused a lot of people, they got the willies out of that.
They should. It is a very creepy commercial that they tried to frame as something that was just innocent and gentle.
So the advertisement features the founder of Ring showing off a new feature that uses AI to help families find lost dogs. Now, that to me seems like a very kind thing to do and a very clever thing to do for the canine community, because many people treat their dogs like they're part of the family.
I do, too. I certainly do.
So if your dog is lost and you can't find your dog, you would think, well, okay, founder of Ring, what can you do? So it turns out, and this is just bizarre, but basically they now allow anybody with a Ring camera to get notifications when their camera detects a lost dog reported on the platform. How does this work?
They upload a picture of your lost dog family member, and you upload a description. So like very furry, long hair, golden, whatever.
Paws.
No paws. No tail. Tail. That will unleash all of the neighboring cameras in your neighborhood. And I don't know how far it. Basically, it showed a graphic of the commercial basically expanding all throughout the neighborhood of all these Ring cameras. And once the camera detects your dog, it'll pop up, hey, this is Max, whatever, golden retriever. And there it is.
So if they're going to be able to do this for dogs, you have to imagine they're going to be able to do it for humans.
I think most people saw that commercial and immediately like pooped their pants. Cause it's like, if you can put in dogs, like how much easier would it just be to put in, you know, your neighbor?
And the fact they have access to your Ring cameras.
Yeah. It's creepy.
People are really upset about this. One person writing on the socials, did anyone else think the Ring commercial was really weird? Using your doorbell footage to locate dogs, but now imagine if it wasn't dogs they were using your doorbell footage for. Another added, Ring camera introduced search party. That's the AI surveillance video of your neighborhood. Constantly, every day, always watching. You cannot hide or escape. It's like Big Brother.
Yeah.
You see, the Ring camera, it was meant for good, and now it's turned to evil.
It's that AI. The AI is ruining things. It's making things worse.
Wow. Anyway, so that was one of the Super Bowl ads. Did you have any favorites?
Honestly, they were a little underwhelming. I liked the one with Matthew McConaughey and, Brad Pitt. I liked that one. I'm not even sure what it was about, but it was just funny.
I think that was a movie coming out on Netflix.
Maybe. Possibly.
I think that's what that was. There's a new Spielberg movie coming out, and they teased that a little bit. I love the Clydesdales.
Yes.
I don't drink Budweiser, but I love that ad.
It was very creative.
The little eagle. At first, you thought, holy cow, the Clydesdales got wings. And then it turned out, of course, it was the eagle. So what a great commercial that was.
Yeah. The bunch was, it was okay. There was one that was, it was like a karaoke karaoke singing along, but the lyrics were not of the song, but it was like promoting the company. And it was like a minute long of just karaoke, and it turned out to be another crypto ad. So it is what it is.
And now comes the moment we've all been waiting for. You worked around the clock to produce the Anglo version of Bad Bunny's halftime performance. And we're not going to be able to say all of it on the radio, but it is one of the most vile, disgusting things I've ever seen in my life. Were you shocked by this?
Yeah. I was shocked by how vulgar it is, some of the lyrics, and how stupid some of the songs are. Because they may sound very nice in Spanish, but when you look at the English translation, you're like, oh, he's saying maybe one to two words, and he's just saying them over and over again, and they don't make any sense.
No, but here's the thing. I'm wondering, I didn't hear anything bleeped last night. No. So I'm wondering, did they just let all of this language go through?
Absolutely.
Because of Spanish?
Absolutely. I think they just knew all of us weren't not going to know what he's going to say anyway. So, well, why bleep it?
Wow. All right. Let's try our hand. We're not going to read the whole thing here. It's a lot of lyrics. Anyway, let's give it a shot. Auntie asked me if I have a lot of girlfriends. Hey, a lot of girlfriends. Today I have one. Tomorrow I'll have another. But there's no wedding. Auntie asked me if I have a lot of girlfriends. a lot of girlfriends. I'm going to take them all to the VIP. The VIP, say hello to Auntie. Let's take a selfie. Say cheese. Let the ones I already blanked smile. In a VIP, I. Say hello to Auntie. Let's take a selfie. Say cheese. I really like the Gabriellas, the Patricias, the Nicoles, the Sophias. My first girlfriend in kindergarten, Maria. And my first love's name was Talia. I've got a Colombian, a Mexican, another one in San Antonio, and the one from PR, that's Puerto Rico, that are all mine. A Dominican who is a fresh hottie, fresh hottie. The one from Barcelona that came by plane and says my blank is fire. I let them play with my heart. I'd like to move in with all of them to a mansion. The day I get married, I'll send them an invitation. Boy, stop that. Oh, my. All right, continuing on here. My blank is being chased, and I want you to hide it. Grab it like a bonga. She took a pill that made her horny. She blanks in the Audi, not in the Honda. If I give it to you, don't call me, because this is not to make you love me. If your boyfriend doesn't, he better blank. I don't understand the eyes.
I'm lost. What's up already with that? I am so lost.
When she twerks, she doesn't stop. She smokes and gets horny. She'll call you if she needs you. But for now, she is alone. She twerks. Party, 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 party. Party, 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 party. Party, 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 party. Party, 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 party. Sweet Lord. It is so nasty. The lyrics just, they keep getting, here's another one about, well, I can't say that word. No, can't say that word either. Oh, I don't know. Maybe we just need to leave it there.
Yeah, probably smart.
Yeah, geez, hello. Was that some of the music they played? I don't know if we...
So that is the complete line. So that whole lyric sheet that I gave you is the whole lineup for the Super Bowl.
Wow. I mean, there are some profane acts and a few I had to look up mentioned in those songs.
So, yeah. And you'll be thankful now that you didn't have any captions on your screen, because you probably would have been so, one, confused and the other just disturbed.
Well, we had the guy from Collierville, Tennessee, call and say that even the captions, the subtitles were in Spanish.
I got a subtitle that said singing in Spanish. And I'm like, yes, thank you. That's very, very helpful.
And you know the NFL, they're still not getting this.
No.
You know, they're not. As a matter of fact, I heard, I mean, what tickets were going for $6,000 a pop. I mean, that's on the low end. There were reports that leading up to moments before the Super Bowl, they were trying to offload tickets at $2,000. So I'm not sure if it was a sold out Super Bowl. Just way too expensive.
I wouldn't be surprised, because obviously, I mean, honestly, this game between these two teams, Patriots, Seahawks, very underwhelming. People did not really expect these two teams to make it, and now that they did, they're like, okay, it doesn't seem like a Super Bowl game.
I will say this, though. The Seattle Seahawks guys were very open about their faith in God, and that had Democrats really upset, and they did not like the fact that they were given airtime to talk about their faith.
Jesus mean to you?
God is love. But whenever you see me, it's a reflection of God.
I am a believer, believe in Christ. I believe I'm here to serve others and to serve the Lord. So
I feel like your faith directs your path. He brings so much joy to my life, you know, that I can truly say, you know, I'm happy waking up each and every day.
God's always had a plan that was way bigger and greater than anything that I've ever imagined. So
He died for our sins, you know what I'm saying? So we can live eternal life in heaven.
Jesus is everything to me. You know, he's that unshakable foundation. No matter what happens, football, good, bad, indifferent, you know, I know I always have Jesus to go back to. I know if I ever stray away that he's calling me back. James 1:2-3, consider your pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that testing of your faith produces perseverance. That's something that I really that's been my lock screen ever since I tore my ACL. Christ is King. Jesus is love. He loves you. He loves me.
He's my Lord and Savior. So, I mean, everything I get to do is because of him.
Why not Jesus? You know what I'm saying?
Jesus is always going to love you. He's always going to be there when you need him. He died for you.
Has made anything possible with him. You know, as long as you know you got him in your life, you keep him first in everything you do, man, you can, hey, You can do anything, man. The sky's the limit.
The sky is the limit, and some of the great testimonies there from members of the Seattle Seahawks football team. Classy operation there, and those guys, well done, and they were certainly great ambassadors for our Lord. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, President Trump has become a big fan of Newsmax over the past few years. Millions of you have also become fans watching us on cable and also our streaming channel, Newsmax 2. That's where you can watch the Todd Starnes Show every day, 5 o'clock Eastern. And you folks are downloading our free Newsmax app on your smartphone and your TV. Reuters Institute says we're one of the top news brands in the nation. So find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. You can get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and you can download the free app today. It takes just seconds to start. And let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax, real news for real people. You guys been following the Savannah Guthrie story? Her mother, Nancy, what, the 84-year-old, and she's been missing now for over a week. And the working theory is that she was kidnapped. The family's been getting all of these letters from the alleged kidnappers demanding all sorts of money, millions and millions of dollars in money. So the question here is, you know, what's... is it just me? I've just got a weird vibe about this whole story. It's not making any sense at all. And over the weekend, they were searching. The police were doing a pretty thorough search of the daughter's house. The son-in-law has been mentioned as possibly being involved, but there's no evidence of that. And the police certainly are not corroborating that at all. But they were doing they were treating that home as if it were a crime scene and going in and doing a lot of investigatory work. So anyway, there's a guy on Fox News who's a former law enforcement and says, this isn't making any sense. The percentage of kidnappings that occur of 80-year-olds, it's less than 0.5%, which again is why this case is so baffling. And the officer, Gagliano is his name, and he's not convinced this was an actual kidnapping. He said there are lots of ways to do a kidnapping, but when you're that close to the border, they've been doing something called virtual kidnappings where they do everything they can to make you believe they've got your loved one, and they're using artificial intelligence, AI. And again, they had at least a 14-hour head start on the cops. It does make you wonder what's going on. According to Gagliano, the biggest piece of the puzzle is the digital imagery, the digital exhaust that investigators are going to go through from the kidnappers, along with this ransom note. Of course, the doorbell ring was removed. They might be able to harvest some sort of forensic evidence. There was another camera on the roof that apparently was powered by solar, so they may have that sort of evidence. But right now, there's just no evidence of where this woman is or even if she is still alive. And everybody's covering this story wall to wall. A lot of folks are complaining about Fox News. They're saying the coverage is just so over the top. And by the way, I just want to point this out. And again, we believe that every life is precious. And I will say this, you know, for the president to unleash the full force of the federal government to help find Nancy Guthrie, that is something else. But the reality is a lot of people in this country get kidnapped. A lot of people go missing, including a lot of, you know, young people. And yet they get none of the media coverage, none of the press that Nancy Guthrie is getting. Now, Savannah Guthrie put out a third video plea on Saturday for their missing mom. And Savannah Guthrie saying, "We beg you now to return our mother to us so that we can celebrate with her. That's an odd choice of words there, celebrate with her. This is the only way we will have peace. And she added, we will pay. Now, the purported deadline, what is it, 5 o'clock today, $6 million. That's how much the abductors are wanting. That's from TV station KGUN. The note included a threat to Mrs. Guthrie's life if the deadline is not met. And so far, no named suspects in the case. So there you go. What a weird story. I will say this, though. It's peculiar how the media behaves, because there are lots of other big stories, a lot of other things that are happening. Fox News has pretty much dedicated its news coverage 24/7. And people are saying it's over the top. It's just too much. And it, look, I don't disagree with that. I think it's a story, no doubt about that. But it does make you wonder why. Why don't they provide the same amount of coverage to other kidnappings? What makes this so special? And I'm just going to tell you, the reason why Mrs. Guthrie is in the national news is because her daughter, Savannah, is a celebrity. And celebrities get special and preferential treatment. That's the, is it fair? No, it's not fair, but that's the reality of it. That is, and that's what's going on here. I mean, years ago, we used to have a sort of gallows humor, but it was a joke that we used to share in the newsroom that, God forbid, you get kidnapped. You better hope and pray that you're either somebody famous or that you're a good looking blonde female. Because one of those two, you're going to get, they're going to, it's all hands on deck. They're going to find you one way or the other. But if you're just a general schlub, well, good luck to you, pal. Good luck. No, I know that's a terrible thing to say, Dylan, but it's true. This is who we are as a society. If you're good looking, there's a better chance they're going to pay the ransom. That's all I'm saying. Me, I'm hosed. I had to bring my own ransom with me. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Let's go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend. He is the publisher of TriStarDaily.com, Steve Gill. Steve, hope you're doing well.
Doing good, thank you. Good to be with you.
You know, a lot of people weighing in on the whole Super Bowl, U.S. Olympics, Team USA, President Trump just so enraged over the behavior of our Olympic athletes. You know, I remember a time, Steve, when, you know, it was a privilege to wear the uniform of the country.
You know, and some of them have displayed that. I mean, I can't say enough about Lindsey Vonn. Not only being patriotic, but the courage to literally do the downhill, which is basically flying 75 miles an hour on ice straight down, and is unabashedly patriotic. And most of the athletes fall into that category, but the exceptions should be denied the ability to wear the American flag or to represent America in the Olympics. If they're not going to proudly stand with who we are, they shouldn't be standing on a podium or next to a podium.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I want to play some audio here. This is a collection of Team USA freestyle skiers saying that they feel really bad that they have to represent the United States of America. Take a listen.
I feel heartbroken about what's happened in the United States when, I'm pretty sure you're referencing ICE and some of the protests and things like that. I think that as a country, we need to focus on respecting everybody's rights and making sure that we're treating our citizens as well as anybody with love and respect. And I hope that when people look at athletes compete in the Olympics, they realize that that's the America that we're trying to represent.
It brings up mixed emotions to represent the U.S. right now, I think. It's a little hard. There's obviously a lot going on that I'm not the biggest fan of, and I think a lot of people aren't. If it aligns with my moral values, I feel like I'm representing it. Just because I'm wearing the flag doesn't mean I represent everything that's going on in the U.S. So, yeah, I just kind of want to do it for my friends and my family and the people that support me getting here.
So, you, Steve, I have just promoted you. You are the head coach of Team USA. What do you do with those Yahoos?
I think the alternates get promoted up to compete, and the Yahoos stay on the sidelines. Let those who want to represent our country, who want to bring the best of who we are, and who they can compete as athletes, let them have the opportunity, because these opportunities should not be afforded to those who, A, don't appreciate it, B, don't appreciate the sacrifices of those who have put them where they are. Hess, for example, is a guy who's all concerned about diversity and equity and inclusion. He's a guy who comes from a community that's 90% white. What does he know about oppression? Yeah, I think the average income in the community where he lives is like $800,000 a year. So his claims of caring about the oppressed and the dispossessed seem a little false based upon where he comes from.
Well, not only that, he lives in a neighborhood where homes on average, Steve, on average are $800,000. So I'm not too sure he knows that much about oppression.
He's not in a trailer park in South Mississippi. That's exactly right.
By the way, I want to play this, and it's not just the immigration policies, but also LGBT issues. This young lady, her name is Amber Glenn. And she's very upset about President Trump's treatment towards the queer community.
Yeah, it's been a hard time for the community overall under this administration. It isn't the first time that we've had to come together as a community and try and fight for our human rights. And now, especially, it's not just affecting the queer community, but many other communities. And I think that we are able to support each other in a way that we didn't have to before, and because of that, it's made us a lot stronger. I hope I can use my platform and my voice throughout these games to try and encourage people to stay strong in these hard times. I know that a lot of people say, you're just an athlete, like, stick to your job, shut up about politics, but politics affect us all. It is something that I will not just be quiet about, because it is something that affects us in our everyday lives. So, of course, there are things that I disagree with, but as a community, we are strong and we support each other, and brighter days are ahead of us.
So here's what I don't understand, Steve, is that Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, is gay. Rick Grenell, in charge of the Kennedy Center, is gay. This administration has been very, very friendly with the LGBT community.
Well, she needs to specify exactly what human rights, what constitutional rights have been removed. What are these disastrous things that have been imposed on the gay community that have dispossessed them of their rights? Now, she is one who has been, if I believe correctly, an advocate of men participating in women's sports. Well, that's all well and good, but she's a figure skater wearing her tight little uniform. She is not in a sport where a guy is going to go out there and do those same routines. So it's a little safe for her to be for men competing against women in their sports when she's not playing, I don't know, other sports where men would dominate as they have. I mean, you had the World Cup women's team get beat by 15-year-old boys, the best women soccer players in the world. Got beat by 15-year-old boys. So it's really safe for her to advocate for men in women's locker rooms, men competing with women on the playing field, when that's not happening in her sport.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Here's what gets me, though. It's not necessarily the answers. It's the reporters asking the questions. Something has happened, and I don't know when the change happened, but for the longest time, sports reporters were just all about sports. They would never think to insert politics into their questions. And yet this new class of sports journalism, that seems to be the only thing they're caring about.
Well, they weren't asking about anti-Trump policies, anti-ICE policies, immigration law policies in previous Olympics. It is just this one where they can push their anti-Trump, anti-ICE, anti-law enforcement agenda. And again, if they want to ask the questions, fine. But follow up the questions of how this doesn't affect her, but the women it does affect in sports are on the exact opposite side of her agenda. Be sure to ask her, as you look at these anti-ICE enforcement laws, how many criminal, violent, pedophiles, rapists, and murderers does she want released into her neighborhood because of her anti-ICE attitude, anti-law enforcement attitude? They need to bear down and be very specific about which rapists that have been released by Democrat governors and Democrat mayors she advocates for, and is she going to take any of them into her home?
Fair question. Steve Gilt joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, publisher of TriStarDaily.com. Steve, I want to switch gears. Look, the Democrats are just imploding, and I love that. And I still think Republicans have a chance to win the midterms in spite of themselves, because from the conversations I had over the weekend, I don't think that Thune is going to allow a vote to happen on the SAVE Act. Meanwhile, you've got these Democrats out there, though, that, and this is where it could get interesting. You've got these Democrats that are trying to redistrict. You've got Virginia. They're getting rid of all but one Republican seat. Maryland now wants to get rid of all. They only have one seat for the Republicans. They want to get rid of that. That would be Congressman Andy Harris's position, the chair of the House Freedom Caucus. What advice would you give to Republicans here that refuse to do what the Democrats are doing?
Don't bring a paper wad to a knife fight. If they're going to play down and dirty and fight like they're in an alley trying to rob, rape, and pillage, don't come in and play kumbaya. You have to play by the rules they are setting. And Indiana has been a disaster. Other states that have the opportunity to clear the field need to do so, because they keep exclaiming on the Democrat side, well, we're just doing it because they did it. You look at the Northeast. There are states that have 40% Republican votes that are completely being and have been completely dispossessed of any representation. And Republicans need to play with the same kind of hardball, ruthless, merciless approach that the Democrats were playing by, because playing nice doesn't counteract their evil, illegal ways. In Virginia, it is against the law to do what they are doing, and yet the mainstream media just keeps couching it in terms of, well, the Republicans are doing it too. The Republicans are not doing it, but we should.
So over the weekend, I was at Young America's Foundation. They were having their big Freedom Fest, and it was a great time, great speakers. I overheard a conversation, though, and that's why I'm not going to name the person's name. That would be unfair. But it's a very well-known conservative pundit. And I was really intrigued, and I wasn't intentionally, they were just talking loudly in the green room, and so I was there and just overheard all of this. And my concern is what the establishment wing of the party, because this person really does represent the establishment wing of the party, what they really think a Republican ought to be. Because there's a phrase this individual used, and it was about, like, for example, supporting Israel. And he said, oh, yeah, those are the far-right Christians in the party. And I'm thinking, wait a second. That is a far-right position now to support the nation of Israel? I don't think so.
Well, our only dependable ally in that region, again, there's been some progress from the UAE, from Jordan, and others in recent years and even in recent months. But we have one ally. There is one country there where the avowed intentions of those who surround them is to, from the river to the sea, eradicate them. Again, if we want to fight the injustice, if we want to fight for the weak and preserve Israel as a nation from those who literally want to kill every man, woman, and child there and destroy them, then that's not a far-right position. That should be a humanity position.
Yeah, and again, it's just, okay, and you know why they do that. Well, that's just what those far-right crazies say about them. That's not who we really are. And if they're saying that about Israel, what about, for example, election integrity, voter integrity? Is that one of the reasons why Thune is not sold out on this? I can't understand John Thune and his reasoning here, his rationale. We had a congressman on the show, or senator rather, Mike Rounds on the My Newsmax show last week, said that, nuking the filibuster is completely off the table. I mean, to me, that is detrimental to the Republicans.
Well, and it's handing power to the Democrats, because there is no question that if they get majority in the Senate, majority in the House, all we will get for the next 2 years are going to be impeachments and vengeance and punishment against Republicans. You're not going to get conservative justices to the Supreme Court if there's a vacancy. You're not going to get conservative judges, appellate court judges and trial court judges at the federal level. You will see no progress at all because of Republicans, not because of Democrats. And Thune is a disgrace. The people in his state should be ashamed, but he is not alone. And we've got guys like Mark Wayne Mullen in Oklahoma, as red a state as you can find, continuing to side with the Democrats. And I hope Elon Musk will fund billions of dollars to expose, embarrass, disgrace, and drive these people out of their homes and families with what should be exposed about them if they will not voluntarily leave office. Again, it is time to take off the kid gloves on fighting for this country, fighting against the evilness that are the Democrats. There are no moderate Democrats. When you look at Cooper, the Democrat governor moderate in North Carolina, who released literal rapists and murderers who went out and did it again, there are no moderates. They may pretend, they may talk a good game until they get to Washington, until they get in possession. Look at Virginia with Abigail Spanberger. Oh, yeah, I'm a moderate. Until she gets in and starts pushing all the antithetical policies that she did not campaign on. So, you know, we need to wipe out those within our midst who are not decent people of integrity. And I guarantee you, there is a target-rich environment of Republicans who should be exposed, who will happily leave office, resign, rather than have their livelihoods, their futures destroyed by the truth. We don't have to make up stuff. We just have to make sure that the public knows the stuff.
Yeah, well said. All right, Steve, got to leave it there. What's cooking over on TriStarDaily.com today?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is we're continuing to get talk from the governor and from legislators to try and expand the voucher scheme that puts 20,000 students into private schools who mostly were already in private schools under the guise that it was going to help public schools. The governor wants to expand that by another $150 million a year to double the number of students who will continue to be in private school for the most part while ignoring the public schools, and all under the guise of school choice. President Trump is for school choice. Most of us are for school choice. That is different than giving scholarship money to kids already in private schools under the guise of helping improve bad public schools. So that's going to be the battle. Tennessee's a little short on money this year. I don't think they're going to get the full reach that the governor wants.
Okay.
But hopefully we can stop it where it is.
Good stuff. All right, got to leave it there. Steve, always good hearing from you, my friend.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, Steve Gill, everybody. TriStarDaily.com is the website. We do need to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Do you want to see the Republicans nuke the filibuster in the Senate? We'll be right back. All right, let's go to Martin. Wants to weigh in on Savannah Guthrie's mom. Hi, Martin. What's going on?
How you doing, Todd?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, this is the first time I'm calling in, but I wanted to call you about the Savannah Guthrie thing. Is I think you're 100% right. With celebrities, they seem to get more attention than, you know, the average American, like that young 15-year-old boy who disappeared from St. James. It's been over 2 weeks, and they only had a story on him on Fox one day, and that was it.
It's really, I get it, and here's the problem, Martin. You don't want to be that guy that's like, oh, you know, complaining about it all, but you do have to ask questions. What is it about these cases that, you know, attract the media, that attract the attention of the President of the United States? I mean, we're spending, you know, big federal dollars. We've got the FBI's down there, all sorts of other federal agents looking for, you know, the NBC Today Show host mother.
Yeah, unbelievable. It is. It's true. It's very true. I remember when Madonna's dog supposedly was kidnapped. They made a big deal out of that.
And I get it. You know, the TV, they've got to look for stories that are going to, move the needle and get eyeballs. I understand that. But from a government perspective, sending in the FBI, they already have the FBI down there. It just seems to me those resources might be used to maybe help somebody else who's been kidnapped.
Yeah, very true. Very true. I even remember how they said that he made it onto the Manhattan Bridge, the boy, and that according to the police, all the camera caught was a splash. And then that was it. You didn't even hear anything about, like, did they go out to search in the water whether the boy jumped off the bridge.
Oh, and this was in New York City?
No, this was the boy was from St. James, Long Island.
Oh.
And the last that they had were able to trace him to was the Manhattan Bridge. And they said all the cameras caught from the Manhattan Bridge was a big splash.
Oh, geez, Alou. Well, Martin, look, I'm glad you picked up on it. I thought it was just me. So thank you for validating my concerns. And we've got a skedaddle for the break. Hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I've been following at a distance this whole Jeffrey Epstein, Steve Bannon story that has surfaced. Want to say a few things about all of that. Because it's a mess, and it's a big problem. As a matter of fact, many conservatives are erupting, that is the headline at Mediaite, erupting on Steve Bannon over these Epstein revelations. So here are the revelations in documents that have been released by the DOJ. So the very day that Epstein was being arrested on charges of sex trafficking, he was texting with Steve Bannon about a friendly documentary the pair had planned to make about Jeffrey Epstein. Bannon said, if we can arrange it, we can film on the island. And he said it was important to push back on the lies, then crush the pedo trafficking narrative and rebuild your image as a philanthropist. But all of that was canceled because Epstein was taken into custody at Teterboro Airport across from New York City and New Jersey. So it's a pretty disgusting stuff. I just don't, this Epstein thing has really puzzled me, at least the reaction from people, including the White House, is all just very odd. And I understand why President Trump was hesitant about releasing all of the files, because there were a lot of, turns out to be fake, allegations, unsubstantiated allegations, things that just did not warrant, things that were so outrageously absurd they could not be true. The George H.W. Bush eating the babies, for example. So anyway, Elon Musk is now weighing in, and he said flat out, Steve Bannon is evil. Steve Bannon is evil. It turns out that Epstein was not just socializing with Bannon. The DOJ and House Oversight record show sustained coordination between 2017 and 2019. Epstein advised Bannon on funding, the need to understand flow of funds, strategy, and messaging, among other things. Roger Stone, the famed GOP operative, said that Elon certainly turned out to be right about Steve Bannon. Bannon has close ties also with the Chinese Communist Party, as well as Epstein. And that should raise some eyebrows, folks, in the conservative movement. No doubt about that, according to Eric Erickson, the conservative radio host. Of course, Erickson is no fan of anything in the Trump administration. But still, it's troubling. And ladies and gentlemen, I think we have to, you know, if you're going to go after people like the Clintons and whoever else was connected to Jeffrey Epstein, you got to go after the conservatives that were connected with him as well to make sure that there was nothing untoward, there was nothing inappropriate going on. But the idea that you would be willing to do PR work for a pedo, the leader of a pedo ring, I got big problems with that. Meanwhile, Karl Rove and his whiteboard are back on Fox News again. And Rove, have you noticed? I think that's the only place that'll take Karl Rove on air. Karl Rove, though, is warning the Republicans they are in danger of losing the Senate in the midterm election. So we've been really focused on the House. Rove says, no, the Senate may be in jeopardy as well. And there's a Texas component of this. I know we have a lot of listeners in Texas, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. But Rove was responding to a question from the editor of Journal Editorial Report. And they're hearing the same things. I haven't heard that much about the Senate being in danger, but it could be. It could be. I've been focused more so on the House side of things. Rove replied, well, it could be close. First of all, we have Maine, which is critical. Their reelection of Susan Collins in a state that Trump lost by 9. Yeah, I think Trump is going to, I think Susan Collins is going to do well there. He also mentioned North Carolina is going to be a tough race. And Rove believes that Michael Whatley has the nomination all wrapped up. Is that true, North Carolina listeners? Does Michael Whatley, the former RNC chair, also former chair of the North Carolina Republican Party, does he actually have it all wrapped up? So they're saying Rove is saying the Democrats have the former two-term Democrat governor. Before that, he was state attorney general. It's not going to be an easy race. Georgia, unlikely to knock off anybody there. The two Democrats control the Senate seats in what is supposed to be red Georgia. The Democrats are also may have a chance in Texas. Now, here's what Rove says, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, Texas. Rove says if John Cornyn is the nominee, the Republicans will have an easy race. But if they have a guy who's got all kinds of problems, including three girlfriends, Ken Paxton, the attorney general, it could be a really big mess. So, yes, the Republicans cannot take the Senate for granted. They've got to worry about it. And the economic messaging cannot only be from the White House. The Republican candidates themselves, whether they're in office or trying to get an office, have to have a concerted attention to the economy, and they have to have the right messaging and the right attitude. I am not seeing any of that coming out of the RNC, to be perfectly honest and open and transparent with you, because we get a lot of email and we're on a lot of these email lists. We're getting nothing from the RNC about the midterms at all. A new University of Houston survey says Paxton holds a 7-point lead over Cornyn, the incumbent senator. So my question for you folks there in Texas, you know, Karl Rove says that Ken Paxton is toxic, cannot be elected, and yet he's got a 7-point lead over John Cornyn in the Republican primary. What do you make of that, Texas listeners? You folks in North Carolina, do you believe that Michael Whatley has a chance at winning that Senate seat? Is that doable? Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, all those people complaining about President Trump and the meme last Friday, where I had a little snippet at the end, I haven't heard any of those people calling out Texas State Representative Gene Wu for coming after white people in a blatantly racist statement. Just want to point that out. So look, Dana Bash had Maryland Governor Wes Moore on the show. I don't know what happened to Bash, but she was asking some pretty good questions, especially when it came to the redistricting plan. Let's take a listen.
It is important that states like Maryland that have the ability to look at their maps, that we have a chance to do it. And it is why I'm urging the Maryland Senate to be able to let democracy not die in the free state and allow a vote to happen on the Maryland Senate. And that people should have the opportunity to know that governors and mayors and attorneys general, that in this moment, we've got to understand the assignment and understand what is at stake right now.
Well, let's talk about that redistricting. You are pushing hard to redraw Maryland's congressional map to further benefit Democrats. And what that means is eliminating the only Republican-held seat that exists right now. The map, as it stands, is already really gerrymandered, done before you got there. How is it good for democracy to pursue a map that makes your state even less representative?
Well, actually, the map that the Maryland House passed would actually make six of the eight congressional districts more competitive than less. And frankly, one of the most gerrymandered seats inside of the state of Maryland is actually the Republican seat. It's Andy Harris's seat, who voted against national redistricting reform. But what the Maryland delegate and Maryland House did is they actually said, let's debate it, let's discuss it, and then let's take a vote. This idea that the Maryland Senate won't even take a vote on this is just, it does not make any sense to me and does not make sense to many Marylanders. And in fact, just last week, we saw how the Maryland Senate found time to debate and vote who was going to win the Super Bowl, but could not find time to debate the future of democracy.
And I just want to make sure that people who aren't totally familiar with the makeup of the legislature in Maryland understand that you're talking about the Democratic leaders, the Democratic leader in particular, in your home state. So this is an internal party divide on this. And I know you mentioned that you think that some of the congressional districts will be more competitive, but ultimately you're trying to push out the only Republican who is serving there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's exactly what's going on. Now, by some estimations, the Democrats have identified 19 congressional seats in the House that are flippable. In other words, they believe that they've got the numbers to go in, and most of those are in California. I will say this, Zach Nunn's seat is now being considered up for grabs in Iowa. Also, and again, most of these in California are going to be difficult. Jen Kiggins out of Virginia, her seat may get wiped away by this redistricting effort. So it's very possible that the Democrats could flip the House. And again, I still believe the Republicans, we've got the big mo going into this, even though they're backtracking on a lot of the president's agenda. I still think we've got the big mo. And it's going to take a lot to give the Democrats a surge. Keep in mind, a lot of the protests you've seen out there all over the nation over these past, I don't know, however many weeks, those are all bought and paid for. That's what's going on there. So we'll keep an eye on all of this for you. It's just a matter of getting out and voting. And that'll be coming up in a few months, and we'll have a pretty good indication of where things stand then. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, there have been all sorts of student protests. The kids are, I don't know, have you seen these videos? It's just insane. The kids are being let out of these schools, and they're running wild, causing all sorts of mayhem. There's video of these little thuglings, and they're throwing, like, things at motorists as they're driving by. And there was one moment where apparently a juvenile driver inadvertently turned one of the protesters into a hood ornament. We don't know the outcome of that, but again, you've got these kids literally running into the streets and into traffic, into oncoming traffic. And it is a dangerous, dangerous thing. But again, these activists, they're just like the Islamists, right? Just like Hamas. They use the women and the children as shields. And so that's why in Minneapolis, you saw so many of these moms showing up at the protest with their babies latched to them. It's really disgusting and despicable. So anyway, you've got all of these protests are happening all over the country. And nobody's doing anything about it. Nobody. Matter of fact, there was one woman. I don't know if you saw this video. There was this one woman, and she got wind that her son had decided to leave school and join the protest. So the mom shows up, and she's recording herself screaming at her child, telling her son to get his butt in the car or to get back to school. Or so the kid is like ignoring his mother, standing up to his mother. No, of course, no, Dylan, it was not. No, it was not in the South. Otherwise, that kid would not be with us today. I mean, if you talked, if you're a Southern kid, I'm just going to say this. If you're a Southern kid and you talk to your mother like that, you back talk to your mama, you would probably be killed. And then when your dad got home, he'd raise you from the dead so he could kill you again. I just don't get it. I'm sitting here watching this and I'm like, okay, mom, are you going to take that? Come on. So anyway, all of this stuff is happening and you've got nobody's learning anything. And most of the schools this is happening at, they have, I mean, we're talking 6 to 10% reading levels. I mean, it's crazy. These kids aren't learning anything except how to become little Antifa members. So I'm watching all of this and again, I don't like to be critical of the administration. I really don't. It pains me and it grieves my heart to have to call out the administration because I think overall Donald Trump gets a 100 on his scorecard. But the cabinet, these folks are losing it. And we've already been through what's going on with the Justice Department and what a mess that is. Now you've got the Department of Education. And I've noticed something. Nobody from the from the Department of Education is talking about this. Where's Linda McMahon? That's her job. Her job is the education secretary. So where is Linda McMahon? Why isn't she out there condemning all of this behavior, but more importantly, because Republicans do a great job of righteous indignation, no doubt about that. But why not actually do something about it? And when I say do something about it, we need to start revoking all federal funding to these schools. And let's be really clear about it. I'm not talking about just suspending. I'm talking about completely eliminating, and not just for that school and not just for that district, but for the state. So if you've got rogue schools that are out there letting their kids out on the streets causing mayhem, you lose all your federal funding. Why are we not doing that? That's what I want to know. Why are we not doing that? Also, there are a number of universities, and President Trump said, we're going to yank your federal funding if you don't eliminate your DEI policies. You know what they've done? They're now just keeping their policies and renaming the programs. So they don't call them diversity, equity, and inclusion. They call them something else. Why haven't we defunded those universities? There are high schools that are still flagrantly defying the president's executive order on boys out of girls sports. President said, we're going to defund those. Why haven't we done that? Is it wrong to ask those sorts of questions? Because I'm telling you, I'm sick of it. Waukegan, Illinois, which is a suburb, I believe, of Chicago, in 1970, that was their population 90% white. Today, it's barely 13%, and an overwhelming number of the citizens are Hispanic, 20% of the population foreign-born. In a small town like Waukegan, Illinois, they had a march, the local high school, and all of those students marching out with the most vile, profane messages, and they also crucified President Trump. You're telling me that's okay? You're telling me that's all right because Waukegan, Illinois is small town America. That's what's happening to every single one of our towns and cities. It's not so much that our borders were breached. It's not so much that we were invaded. It's not so much that we were invaded. The real issue facing the country now, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that we have been occupied and now we are being conquered. town after town, city after city, we are being conquered. All right, gonna take a break here. Am I out of line here in asking Linda McMahon to just do her job? You know what? I know you can try. You may want to audition for a Fox TV gig. That'll come later. Do your job right now, cabinet members. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, let's go to the phone lines. 901-260-5926, Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Jamie is listening to us on KWON. Hi, Jamie. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. I don't even know where to begin. To be honest with you, I'm at the point, I'm just so sick and tired of everything. The deeper all this stuff goes, the more corruption comes to the surface everywhere. I'm just to the point that we the people need to get a trainload of hot tar and feathers and head to D.C. and just go to work.
A good old-fashioned tar and feathering. Haven't seen one of those in a long time, Jamie. Well, what troubles you the most? I can sense your frustration here, and I get it. But what is it? Is there one thing in particular that just really, you know, aggravates you?
All of the corruption. And it's just the digger, or the deeper they dig, the more corruption they dig up.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed, Jamie, and this really does bother me, is they'll do all these investigations, and they've been, by the way, they've been investigating the Somalis for years in Minnesota, and nothing ever happens. Nobody gets arrested. Nobody gets deported. And I say we have got to start changing that culture, and we have got to prosecute these people. They either go to jail or they get their butts deported so they can live back in a hut in Somalia.
Well, that's the whole point, Todd. I mean, anymore, I believe that all these investigations is just political theater, because nothing ever gets done. If you or I did any of this, we'd be in jail for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, true.
But as long as there's a political spin to be put on something, it's just political theater, and nobody's going to go to jail. Nothing's going to get done. Bondi and company, I mean, they're all the time, you know, oh, we found this, we found this. To date, who is the only person, who have they arrested that is anybody?
Yeah, none.
I mean,
nobody.
Don Lemon doesn't count.
Yeah, no, he doesn't count. And you watch what's going to happen. I don't know if that's going to go anywhere. It ought to. But, you know, I think that was an easy pick for the DOJ because they know they're not doing their jobs. And my concern is this, Jamie, and I warned everybody about this on day one, the day of the inauguration. I said, folks, we've got 2 years. People are like, no, we got 4 years to get out. No, we do not. We do not. Nothing is guaranteed. And especially with the numbers of Republicans leaving, I think 29 last count, retiring Republicans. Jamie, we have got to make sure we get as much of the president's agenda codified as possible before the midterm elections.
You are 100% correct. And I've been everywhere that I can throw my voice out is like, the general doesn't matter. What really makes all the difference is the primaries. And I'm to the thing right now that we just, in the primaries, we need to leave no incumbent standing. I don't care if we pick homeless people off the street to go to D.C. They'd be doing better than the ones we've got that they don't represent us. They belong to whoever bottom in the first place.
You see,
you know what I mean?
Here's why, you know, we talked about Karl Rove, and he was going off about Ken Paxton, the attorney general in Texas, and why he's such a bad candidate. And they're saying, oh, well, he's got three girlfriends. He's got all these scandals. Yeah, okay. But that same guy, Kim Paxton, the guy allegedly with three girlfriends and all these scandals, is beating an incumbent U.S. senator in the primary polls by 7 points. What does that tell you about John Cornyn?
Yes, and not only that, Todd, but name one of those D.C. politicians that doesn't have multiple girlfriends, boyfriends, hookers, whatever the case may be.
Fair enough. Yeah, and some of them are not even high class. I mean, yeah, no, sorry, I'm just trying to make a little humor there. Jamie, you're right about that. And again, I like the idea of having every single incumbent face a primary opponent. We have got to send a message. Let me put it this way. It can't get any worse, because right now we actually have elected Republicans. We have the majority, and we're not able to get anything done.
Right. And they can say what they want, but we all know it's on purpose.
Oh, of course it is. John Thune does not have the courage to come out and just even explain. First of all, there's no explanation for his decision not to nuke the filibuster. But he's not even willing to go out and plead his case to the American people. It's his way or the highway. He doesn't care what his constituents think. He doesn't care what the rest of the Republican Party thinks. He's the majority leader. He was a bad choice from day one. We all knew that. And yet the Republicans went along with it anyway.
Yeah, and I kind of think the same thing about Johnson as Speaker. I don't think he was a good choice. McCarthy sucked, but Johnson has been no better.
I think McCarthy would have gotten the president's agenda through. I really do. And, of course, we have MTG to blame for that. But at least McCarthy knew how to fight and play dirty if he needed to play dirty. And Johnson's not going down that path. He is just not. You know, he is running the House of Representatives like a Sunday school class. And I guess that's okay, but it's not working. That's the problem. It's just not working. Jamie, thank you for calling in. And folks, let me just say this. If we really want to make a difference, this is where we can do it, through talk radio. We can save the country, and you can help us out by telling friends, telling your family members to listen to the show, noon to 3 Eastern, to download our podcast or get our newsletter so that everybody can stay informed. I mean, this is where we mobilize. We were able to do it in the Reagan Revolution. We're able to do it now. That's what talk radio still wields a lot of power in this country. All right, let's go to Mike in Texas. Mike, what's going on?
Hello, hello. Say, I wanted to comment on the Savannah Guthrie mom kidnapping. From day one, I never thought that was just, you know, somebody out to make money by kidnapping a rich person. If you remember, Savannah Guthrie interviewed 5 of Epstein's victims, and she interviewed Bill Gates. And if you've ever watched that interview, the question she was asking Bill Gates, you could tell by the look on his face, he did not like being asked those questions. So to my way of thinking, that woman was chosen to send not only Savannah Guthrie, but the news media at large a message.
So you think that this may have some sort of a tie to the Epstein case?
Well, yeah. I mean, look at Epstein. He hung himself from a doorknob. They're sending a message that you know, things don't work out that way. And you're talking about the school, you know, how they're having the protests all across the country. That's the teachers' unions and people working behind the scenes. I mean, you can call me a conspiracy theorist if you like, but you cannot organize mass walkouts in public schools across the country unless there's a network working behind the scenes to organize and coordinate all this. And to me, that's a graver situation than the walkouts, because that network has an unbelievable amount of influence over much of the country, and they're working behind the scenes to bring it down.
Well, let me say something about the school protest. You are absolutely correct that these are well organized, and I will just point you back to Waukegan High School, where there must have been, I don't know, 25 or 30 giant Mexican flags that the students were marching with. I mean, there is so much wrong with what's going on in Waukegan, Illinois right now. That needs to be investigated. And honestly, Tom Homan ought to pay him a visit with the ICE agents in tow. But yeah, absolutely, this is being organized, and we have got, that's why we have got to crack down on this. Now, the Savannah Guthrie thing, Mike, I don't think you're dabbling in conspiracy here. I think, look, at this point, everything is fair game. And the fact of the matter is that Savannah Guthrie did these explosive interviews back in 2019. They're beginning to resurface, and many are wondering, is this a coincidence, or is there some sort of a tie here with those files, with the Epstein interviews and the disappearance of her mother? Look, I think it's fair. I think it's a fair question to ask right now.
Well, like I said, I think that the thing that needs to be most concerning is not what you see on the surface, like with these high school, you know, walkouts. I mean, these kids, the teenagers nowadays, they don't know up from down about the real world or current events or anything else. They've always got their face in their electronic device. So somebody's filling their head with all this stuff and organizing and coordinating it. And to me, those are the people that we should really be concerned about, because they're the ones operating behind the scenes, and no one knows they exist until something like this happens.
It's a fair point you're making, Mike. And let's see what happens here. We'll figure all of it. It will be resolved. I don't doubt that. But certainly some eyebrows are being raised over the Epstein connections. Is it a coincidence? Does it have anything to do with the disappearance? We'll find out. Mike, thank you for that call. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, I have to say thank you to the Young Americas Foundation, YAF, and they invited me to come up to Nashville this weekend and speak to about 500 or 600 college students from all across the country. And we just had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. CNN Scott Jennings was there. Daniel DiMatteo, who is an incredible scholar originally from Venezuela, he was also there, as well as our good buddy Dr. Art Laffer, Congressman Tim Burchett, and myself. And we just, it was so fun. You know, one of the interesting things about these YAF conferences, after you give your speech, you have to stand up there and you've got to take questions from students. And it's, none of this is scripted. So it's all just whatever the kids ask, you've got to talk about. So anyway, I was noticing some blowback from the conference, and people were alleging that, you know, that many of the people in attendance were anti-Israel, anti-Jewish. And I've got to tell you, that is completely not true. And I will say that because of my remarks, which got huge applause. And I said, we just simply cannot tolerate Jew haters within the conservative movement. And the crowd just erupted. So I don't know who's trying to advance that narrative, but I would say it was an incredibly, you know, pro-Israel group of young people, all total about 700-800 people there, a lot of adults as well, and just had some wonderful conversations. I even got a chance to give a shout out to our local YAF chapters at Ole Miss and Rhodes College, as well as Mid-America Baptist Seminary. So well done. And afterwards, signed books, and I think I talked to students. There was a line, and Dylan, I think I spoke to the students for another 90 minutes, just standing there taking questions.
Wow, that's encouraging. Yeah. Also terrifying, probably.
It was, you know, it was my voice was shot, but yeah, it was just a lot of fun, and just had a wonderful time. They put me up in this hotel in downtown called The One Hotel, and it's like rainforest themed.
Ooh, okay.
Like, so when you walk in, the entire hotel, from the lobby to the rooms, it's almost like you're walking into a rainforest.
That's kind of nice. Do they play, like, rainforest sounds in your room?
No, but they should.
They should.
The rooms, though, is instead of, like, I guess counters, mm-hmm. you would have hewed off logs that were sanded down.
That's nice.
It was really funky. The only weird thing, it's open concept, the hotel rooms.
Okay.
So if you're staying by yourself, it's not a big deal, but the bathrooms are not separated from the rest of the room. So you're sort of like exposed.
Oh boy.
Including the toilet.
Yeah, I would want a door. I'd bring my own door. Just bring my own tree.
Hang a curtain. Bring a tree.
Bring my log.
Get some leaves.
Yeah.
I was also concerned about that. Fortunately, I didn't have toilet paper. I didn't know how far we were going to take the whole rainforest theme.
A big leaf, a soft leaf.
Exactly. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Gary in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hi, Gary. What's going on?
No, to go back to a couple of your different callers that called in. Just, I mean, it's bizarre. I've actually had to take a little time off watching some of the Guthrie case, in the sense that they just don't, a lot of the stuff just doesn't make sense. And it's just, you know, it always bothered me that they said there was blood right at the doorstep going outwards on the paver stones. They never mentioned, someone asked, and they wouldn't say if there was blood in the house. I mean, I don't know why a lot of the questions are so vague on. And that can't be protecting the case, the if it's a kidnapping or just a robbery or a homicide case. I mean, it would be, you know, someone could say there was blood leaving out of the house. It just appeared at the doorway. And the other thing is that they every time they're questioned about, was this a robbery and a kidnapping? No comment. Were their personal items taken? No comment. Was there any cash taken? No comment. I mean, it just is really strange on what they will let you know. And every time someone asks, they will say, you know, we have to keep a lot of things close to the vest.
Well, they've told us they've got a crime, but they don't tell us what kind of a crime, you know, we're dealing with here. And it is odd that here we are well over a week removed from this now. And I don't think they're any closer to finding, you know, finding out what happened or finding Mrs. Guthrie.
Yeah, I'm wondering if someone's trying to buy time with the ransom notes and just playing a very deviant game. But it's just the time for them to. But it's really the outcome, I think, may surprise us all. But I'm so afraid it's a horrible outcome no matter what.
Well, I'm afraid you're right, and I certainly hope that is not the case, and we can certainly pray for a miracle. Some people are even speculating that she may have been, you know, if something had happened, that maybe it happened at another location, and then they staged the crime scene there at her home. So, I mean, that's one other thing they're looking at.
I appreciate you letting me call. Thank you.
All right, Gary, thank you for that call, and I guess we're all sort of armchair detectives and stories like this. But isn't it strange that you've got Kash Patel? I don't know if he's still down there, but, you know, he was supposed to be down there to lead up the FBI investigation. But here we are a week later. And normally they're saying, what, it's the first, 24, 48 hours. Those are very crucial to finding out what happened to the person. By the way, may I just say, the one thing that really weirded me out was that Mrs. Guthrie apparently took an Uber to her daughter's home for dinner. I'm sorry here. And again, I don't know anything about relationships, but why would you allow your 84-year-old fragile mother to take an Uber to your home? Why not just go and pick her up? For me, that's just, it's a red flag, and maybe there's a legitimate reason. I mean, I don't know, but it just seems to me that you would want to go pick up your mom and not have her take an Uber. All right, I gotta take a long break. This is it. 5 o'clock tonight, the Newsmax show. Be sure to watch. We'll see you back here on the radio, noon o'clock. What a great show, everybody. Get out there. You be good, America.